Hey, welcome back to Therapy Insiders, part of the UpDoc Media family. How's your balance? No, not walking balance. How's your time balance? Are you running a business, or even if you're going to school, have you figured out a way to balance personal time, family time, with work, with school, with running a business? It's pretty tough, right? And I think a lot of it comes down to the word balance, is that we think there has to be an equilibrium, like two parts have to equal out, which in reality is not the case. It's hard to find time for everything. And when you're in the world of business, when you're an entrepreneur, or even when you're going to school, that can lead to a lot of issues. That can lead to a lot of personal breakdowns, sacrifices, and relationships coming unglued. So to go through things like that is a challenge. And that's exactly what we delve into in this podcast. Between Joe Urson and I, we have a bunch of experience in starting companies, running companies, and what it takes to make that happen, because we have families. And so does our guest, Dr. Jeff Moore. And Jeff gives his unique perspective on what it takes to really be successful and what work-life balance really means, if it even exists. So look forward to hearing your thoughts. Let's get into it right before a word from our sponsor, from Ascend Conference. You know, we're big fans of business here at Therapy Insiders and UpDoc Media. That's why I'm incredibly excited to attend and present with my partner, Dr. Ben Fung, at Ascend Business Summit in Fort Worth, Texas, on September 9th and 10th. Stick around to the middle of this episode where I share a little bit more information about the Ascend Business Summit, as well as a special discount code for you, our listeners, just because, well, you're awesome. For $100 off of your tickets. Stick around, and in the meantime, enjoy this episode of Therapy Insiders, where we discuss work-life balance. Does it even exist? Hello, welcome back to Therapy Insiders Podcast. Dr. Gene Shirakarad here with Dr. Joe Palmer, Dr. Urson Religioso. How's it going, guys?
Doing well, Gene.
I'm doing well, Gene.
So, Joe, you kind of have big-ish news, not quite the big news yet, but leading up to the big news, do you want to share with everyone, or do you want to save it until the actual event happens?
Yeah, I mean, There's no news at this point. I would say everything is still status quo. So everything's good. We're going for the longest pregnancy ever, and we'll let you know when it happens.
Probably feels a little bit longer for Casey than you, but you're right up there, I'm sure. But with parents being parents and kids, and especially Father's Day just happening recently, it brings up an interesting topic that I know I get asked a ton about, and I know I'm sure you guys do as well, is the work-life balance, right? Like, these holidays are awesome because it's, I don't want to say an excuse, but it's an opportunity to really step away from work, because you're almost kind of forced to, because nothing really happens. Everything kind of gets shut down during major holidays, which is nice. And you get to step away, and you kind of get to see how the family dynamic is when you're fully engaged in the family. Because sometimes that's kind of hard when you're in nonstop hustle mode, unless you kind of break things down. So I thought it'd be a good opportunity to really delve into the work-life balance. And I'm doing air quotes right now, whether that even exists for business owners and entrepreneurs. And kind of get your takes on it, because everybody here has businesses, multiple, some of us, and so does our guest. So, Urson, before you share your thoughts, how about you introduce our guest?
Well, back, actually representing the workaholic of the work-life balance, we're glad to have Dr. Jeff Moore back. And ironically, I was saying he was running a little late today because he was working. So we're glad to have him back. And I hear, Jeff, you're moving to Denver?
Yeah, Urson, thanks so much for having me. And I have to just put forth that my warning from Gene wasn't exceptional as far as when to be on here. So, but it was part work. I was indeed working a bit late. Yeah, Urson, I moved to Denver 2 weeks.
Whoa, Jeff, are we talking about work-life balance or are we talking about excuses?
Hold on.
I'm pretty sure this is a work-life balance conversation.
Can't we mute him while we're talking? Yes, so Urson.
I wish.
I did move to Denver. I actually moved twice. I moved the U-Haul out, drove that out with the family and got them settled in, then flew back across the country to Michigan, grabbed my truck and my camper and finished up my house, and then drove a second time the same ride on Thursday, and then I flew to California, and I'm actually out here in California all week doing some one-on-one hours with a gentleman, Chris Pillsbury, who owns a clinic here in Chico. So yeah, man, I did move, and we're glad to be back there. My wife is from Colorado, so she's super stoked, and it's a wonderful hub for me having Denver International Airport to satisfy all my company's needs. So we're in a really cool spot, man.
Yeah, you're gonna have to work on that work-life balance because Denver is beautiful. You're gonna need to get out more.
Joe, I can't believe I've been invited into this conversation because I think my views are moderately polarizing on this, but I'll wait my turn.
Well, start it off, man. What's your take on work-life balance? How do you see it? Does it exist? And what do you do so your wife doesn't kill you?
I mean, Gene, I think the work-life balance is doing what you have to do. You know, I think that's what I guess my main point would be. And, you know, and I do appreciate that occasionally I can be considered on the extreme end on this. But I consider the other end quite dangerous. And so what I hear a lot of is particularly folks who are in their 40s and 50s and 60s who have been quite successful and have wound up in a really good spot, oftentimes preaching work-life balance to those who are in their 20s and 30s. And what's interesting is when I've chatted with these are a lot of the leaders in our profession. When I've chatted with them and I said, you know, how did you get to where you are? I mean, you're happy with where you are. You know, what did you do in your 20s and 30s that set you up for sort of this career path you're on that, to be honest, is one that we're all kind of hoping to be on? I have never heard one of them say yet, Gene, well, Jeff, the time I really broke through and I made my biggest changes in my career was when I really took it easy. You know, when I spent a lot more time on the golf course and just backed off a lot, that was when my career really skyrocketed. You know, when I got over some of those initial burdens and breakthrough points, I don't hear that very often. You know, what I tend to hear is, well, Jeff, it was crazy back then. Yeah, exactly, man. So let the people who are trying to get the same spot you are be crazy. You know, because what you're telling them is, in my view is, Gene, you're going to have to hustle at some point, right? Unless you have a circumstance where your folks helped you through school and you're not dealing with any debt burden. And those things are cool, but that's a very different environment from what I'm used to and what I usually deal with the people that I'm working with. So you're going to have to hustle at some point, right? I don't want to hustle at 52. I want to be the guy at 52 saying, I'm so stoked about where I am and I'm enjoying my career so much. Now it's more about helping the folks behind me. Because you're going to have to hustle if you want to make it and do what you have to do. And I don't want to do it at 60. I want to do it at 35.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great perspective to have. I think once you're doing what you enjoy, then you can really get into it. And it can kind of overtake everything because you really look forward to doing it. So then the question becomes, and it's kind of leaning towards, when I say this, it's kind of evolving to family work balance versus work life balance. Because I think usually when we say work life balance, it's automatically assumed that you're talking about spending time with your family versus spending time at work. How do you differentiate that? How do you give your family enough time versus working all the time?
Yeah, and here's the thing, Gene. I mean, we talk about giving enough time. I don't see time as a quantity thing. Like, I don't see myself saying, oh, good, I gave my family 17 hours this week. That was good. I look at time with anybody, a colleague, a family member, anything as quality. How good was it? And I can tell you this, quality time does not exist when you're really stressed. And I oftentimes say to people, you think being a little bit tired from working too much or not getting enough sleep is stress. Those are small stresses. Big stresses are when you can't meet your bills, man. When mortgage time is coming around and you have not worked enough to be financially okay that month. That is lay in bed, wide awake kind of stress. And so I think a lot of times a little bit more work, right, in making sure that you've covered those major bases can actually make the time with your family higher quality. Even if the quantity is down a bit, I'll take quality over quantity 7 days a week.
That's a great point. What do you think, Urs?
Well, I think no one's going to argue that you don't really come upon, most people have not come upon a major degree of success by sitting on their ass, for sure. But I guess it all depends on how much do you want to keep at that pace, or do you feel compelled to have that pace and what I would consider lack of time for family, you know, once you've actually hit whatever your degree of success is that you're happy with. So I think I'm at the point now in my career, after a lot of hard work, for sure, you know, a lot of late nights where I was blogging and writing and promoting my brands and working, you know, three or four jobs that weren't, before I even opened up a clinic, and I was a peer reviewer and everyone hated me, and teaching at three different PT schools and teaching local con ed. Yeah, you know, I was just making bills meet. I was making ends meet. And some days I would get up before my kids woke up, and I would get home after they went to bed. And it really sucked. Like, I only had Sundays free. And then I opened up my own clinic. I started blogging, and I started the Edge Tool and everything. And, you know, I still worked my ass off, but it was mostly like after everyone went to bed. And sometimes, I'm sure, as you know, Gene, like, you're just on social media, you're on a computer, you're answering emails, or you're writing, or recording, or producing video or content, you know, until like 2-3 in the morning. Or you wake up and you just think like, oh man, it's a great idea, and you like gotta record it, and you have your notebook, right? But yeah, I think I've found that balance now, because it got to the point where my wife, who is a quality time person, I always tell everyone who's married to read the 5 love languages, and she's a quality time person, where it eventually absolutely started wearing away at her. And it was, you know, like, it's very addicting, like just picking up your phone and always getting notifications. And, you know, maybe it's like a sale, or maybe someone just registered for the course, so you always want to see what it is, because you do get less stressed. You get stressed because it's a notification. You get less stressed when it's the right type of notification. So I don't know. In terms of for me now, again, I'm at that point where I guess Jeff said that I'm that guy in his 40s and 50s. That's I know. That's right. That's exactly the transition I thought this is going to be. It's like, oh, Jeff's talking about being old. Gene's going to say, well, now we have an elder statesman PT here who's on the, at least at the top of the hill, as I like to say. I'm not over the hill. And
I'm glad we've built up enough of a repertoire that you know my transition before I even have to say it. You do it yourself.
I was waiting for it.
and spare me that, which is fantastic.
Right.
Yeah, I love that. It's really cool, and it's really easy, I think, for us. And I think it's a certain personality type that are attracted to business ownership and entrepreneurship anyway. So like you said, Urson, with the notifications, the pings, the sales, the customers, just the always on culture that we're going through now, I think at least the business owners and the entrepreneurs that are in that understand the importance of connectivity to kind of always be monitoring, because it feeds into the personality of ownership, of I'm always on the pulse of what's going on with my business. And that's a very hard thing to disconnect from. And you could already hear the similarity in the stories between Jeff, between you, and I'm sure Joe's going to share his, and it's going to sound very similar in that you go through these stages of understanding and evolution and adjustment of your days and life and mindset. And I was no different. I mean, when I was doing like 100-hour weeks when I was in the clinic doing 40 hours and doing 2 other companies on the side. And it became everyday life. Like, there's nothing wrong with it for me. It's just my family wasn't adjusted to that yet. So that was the hard point. That was the adjustment that needed to happen, because it's easy just to put your head down and grind and work and get through it because it's fun. You're building something. It's like Legos, right? You start with something small, but you have this vision in your head. And the more Legos you buy or put into it, the vision gets bigger and bigger, and it's satisfying. But you kind of lose track of life going around you at that point. So I think it's important to have that very honest, real conversation with your significant other, and understand that it's an evolutionary process, that one conversation is not going to be the end-all be-all, that it has to happen over and over, because the process evolves over and over again. And then you throw in other expounding variables, such as kids, which kind of escalate things a lot more, and you have to adjust again. If you don't adjust, whether it's in life or in business, you will crash and burn, and you will fail miserably. So I think that's and it's hard. It's hard to have that adjustment. It's hard to have that those talks every once in a while, but you have to have it. What about you, Joe? Like, you have a kiddo on the way, obviously running the business. The business is about to grow. How's it been going for you? And then what do you plan on doing in the future to kind of carve out time?
Yeah, so let me first touch on a couple things that Urson and Jeff said. So, one, Urson, think that's a great book, Five Love Languages. Agree, highly recommend. And I'm going to go back to what Jeff said about quality time over quantity. And I'm what Jeff is saying is resonating with me, because I do believe that you take and you make time for those quality moments. Okay, and I think that you're right, Gene, as entrepreneur, as a business owner, you're kind of always on. And I think that drive is what makes you successful. And I think that, like Jeff said, you have goals and ambitions, and you're pushing towards those. Urson came in and said, make sure you know when you hit them. And I think that is kind of the struggle. You know, you can be on that treadmill for as long as you want to be on that treadmill, and you can push yourself, and you can just keep going if you get addicted to the success. I guess if you're having success and you get addicted to it, and you can keep on going until you lose track of where you really wanted to be or where you set your goals towards. And you mentioned my kid on the way, and I do feel like I'm pushing hard, but at least now my goal is to be in a position where 10 years from now, if I want to say that I'm going to take off Tuesdays and Thursdays to coach Little League, and I'm not going to work evenings, I want to be in position to allow myself to do that. And so I feel like setting yourself up for success is about setting your goals and then achieving them.
Yeah, that's such a great point, Joe. Is understanding when you are succeeding, when you are hitting those goals. And it's hard. It's hard to ever step off of that treadmill once you step on and you start hitting the speed faster and faster and faster. It's tough to get off. Jeff, let me ask you. So is it a game of sacrificing now to reap rewards later? Is that what it is? Or is there any way around that?
Yeah, it's a game of doing what you have to do. You know, and this is what I always keep coming back to. You know, this is the first time that, you know, this generation of leaders, right, has now said to the younger generation, you know, hey, you know, watch your work-life balance, or, you know, hey, make sure you're taking time for yourself, right? The previous generation of leaders said, do what you have to do, man. You don't get to worry about that kind of stuff. You get up in the morning and you do what you have to do. And most people, I mean, Gene, we're looking at a population coming behind us, right, of people coming out of school with $175,000 in debt, right? They are not in a position to go to Cancun. I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. Not unless you want to wind up in a spot that is extremely uncomfortable, much more uncomfortable than working 65, 70 hours a week. And that's my warning to those that are offering that advice is, you know, those people are going to wind up being 50 at some point. And when they have no money in retirement and they still haven't paid off their student loan, they're in legitimate financial trouble. That trip to Cancun is not looking as funny. This is about doing what you have to do. And a lot of people in our profession right now, if they're going to be okay, have to do what they have to do. So whether you even get to reap rewards, as you said it later, or just have that reward be, hey, we made it through a relatively precarious time. Yeah, man, it's about doing what has to be done.
And before we jump into more discussion on work-life balance, and there is a good bit more. Let's take a break and listen to a word from our sponsor, Ascend Event, which is the ultimate business summit for rehab professionals. Check out ascendevent.com to get your tickets. Now, I promised you a discount code for being an awesome Therapy Insiders listener, and you get just that. Head over to ascendevent.com and type in code Therapy Insiders to get $100 off each ticket. Pretty cool, right? So, what is Ascend Event? I'm sure you've been hearing us talk about it, and Dr. Ben Fung and I are presenting at this year's event, talking about digital marketing and how important it is for businesses. So we're really, really excited about it. But it's not just for business owners. It's not just for CEOs. It's not just for COOs. If you are working in a business, you should know that business because it helps you understand how everything runs. It helps the team come together. But I also wanted to learn a little bit more about Ascend and some of the speakers and what was the genesis of it. So I grabbed Dr. Heidi Janenga, president and co-founder of WebPT, to give us a little breakdown on it. So Heidi, why start a business conference?
Thanks, Gene. We really felt like when you put and you're able to put the brightest minds in private practice PT and even OT for that matter together in one setting, truly incredible things can happen. So with Ascend, we wanted to create a very innovative environment that you have the opportunity when you attend to discuss the ever-evolving world of business and learn from those who have kind of been there and done that, been there in your shoes for that matter, and that will challenge you to kind of bring your private practice to that next level. And like you said, Ascend is all about business, but this is an educational event. We really feel like you're going to learn practical business tactics that you can definitely capitalize on in this this changing landscape. And first and foremost, we understand that if you're going to go to a conference, you've got to have that ROI. And so we've got 9 CEUs that PTs and OTs can actually earn while they're at Ascend. We also have a lot of networking time during Ascend so that you can mingle with lots of different thought leaders and your colleagues to really try to gain as much as possible out of some of the strategies that you might be learning within the conference itself.
So what kind of topics should we expect to hear at the Ascend Business Summit?
Some of the topics that you're going to hear are digital and content marketing, compliance changes, of course. We're going to really drive home some important information around outcomes, new PT and OT codes, the alternative payment system. We have a great presentation with which should be somewhat controversial. We've got all the different players who have opposing sort of philosophies around the alternative payment models, which I think is going to be some fireworks on stage, which I'm really excited about. And then some of the payment reform and billing issues that we're all struggling with right now in private practice. So it's going to be an awesome event, and I hope to see all of you there.
Thanks, Heidi. I'm looking forward to that payment reform discussion since I'm moderating, so there should be plenty of fireworks. Again, please check out ascendevent.com. Type in Therapy Insiders for $100 off. Look forward to seeing you there. Let's do some networking. And now let's jump back to Therapy Insiders and our discussion on work-life balance. We're going to pick up with a question that should get asked a lot more often. What about people that are not business owners?
So for those that are not business-oriented, the people that are just everyday normal people, which is the majority, middle class, right? People that have a job, have a career, a steady career, they allot their one or two vacations a year, you know, just kind of schedule things out for themselves. They shouldn't feel bad, right? I mean, as long as you have a plan, as long as you have a strategy, as long as you have goals in mind that make you happy and you're chipping away at your loans or things like that, nothing wrong with that.
Gene, you know this, entrepreneur and business ownership isn't for everybody.
No.
So, and part of being a business owner, you have to understand that. If you expect them to work and live and breathe like you do, if you expect the people that work with you to do that, I think you're setting yourself up for a letdown there. I think that you need to respect their decision to be an employee.
It's just as important to understand yourself and have a self-awareness of what you're capable of, and it's just as important to understand the people around you and situations that they're in. You have to have that attunement to other people. You have to kind of have put yourself in their thinking, in their heads, and think like they think. Also with empathy, and feel like they feel.
Gene, I don't think you should feel bad, man, but I love that Seth Godin quote, you know, where he said, instead of wondering when your next vacation is, maybe you should set up a life that you don't need to escape from. There's a lot of wisdom in that. You know, I think that this next generation is coming up, and they have this obsession with unplugging. Like, they have this absolute obsession with, I need to, like, get away, and that's how I'm going to recharge. And in my opinion, Gene, when I'm doing what I love, man, when I'm talking with you guys, or I'm teaching a course, or I was doing one-on-one hours today with a guy in California, when I'm dialed in like that, dude, it's when I'm plugged in that I recharge, not when I'm unplugged. This obsession with the beach, man, and, like, having to get away from it all to get back on the level, that's a really dangerous thought virus, in my opinion. I mean, I think you should look at your life and say, how can I be productive and recharge myself simultaneously? And that's what it's all about.
Well, how can you be productive and recharge yourself with your family? Not just you, but everybody around you.
I mean, unpack that for me, Gene, a bit. You mean, how do I...
How do you make sure that you bring your family along to that experience, right? Because they're not in the hustle with you. They don't feel that satisfaction that you feel while you're grinding away, while you're living that entrepreneurial business life that we do. And it's incredibly hard to explain to somebody that doesn't understand it, to somebody that doesn't have that mentality, that need, that drive to constantly chip away at your business, to constantly grow, to constantly connect, to constantly push forward. People that don't have that, you can't explain that to them. And sometimes our families don't have that. So how do we make sure that we are still connected with them while our head is down and we're moving forward?
Yes. So, I mean, two things. I mean, the first one is I'm taking a gamble, right? So, you know, the one concern that I have is with the amount that I work, you know, am I spending enough time with my kids, right? There's undeniably a gamble I'm making there. But the way that I look at it is I try to think of how do you change someone's behavior? And certainly with our children, we're oftentimes trying to modify, change, and shape their character and behavior. And the best way to do it is by example, right? When my son comes to me and says, which he has recently, you know,
son, you did not call me dad. Look me in the eyes.
When he comes to me and says, Dad, I really love fishing and I want to be great at it. He actually told me, I want to be a professional fisherman. I've never thought to say to him, then Warren, what you want to do is really moderate the amount of time that you're fishing. So do a little bit of it, but don't do too much. You don't say that. You say, dude, get out there every chance you can. Own that water. Go in streams, lakes, rivers. Get up early and do it. Stay up late and do it. How can you say that and not model it? How can you say it and not model it? It's like a PT telling someone to exercise when they're in no way active. The best behavioral modification is example setting. And I might not be at every little league game, or every little league practice, but I hope that I'm setting the example that I'm trying to modify my kids' behavior towards.
So, side note here, my son recently told me a similar thing.
Did he say Gene?
He's four, and he said he wants to be Batman when he grows up. So. I can't really tell him to go full force into Batman, right?
I don't know, man. I mean, he might wind up kind of on the fringes, but you could give it a shot.
Yeah, I mean, he's a pretty badass Batman. If you've seen him in costume right now, he pulls it off. Like, it's pretty legit,
Gene, what do you guys think about that? I mean, I'm curious to hear your guys' thoughts because I hear these parents telling their kids, like, hey, I want you to be a great, you know, you want to be a great baseball player, so I want that for you. Yet the parents are at every single Little League practice, not game, but practice. Shouldn't they be out doing what they love and thriving in that and modeling that for their children? Wouldn't that make more sense? I mean, I'm seriously curious about your guys' thoughts on that.
That's a great question, Erson, since you have like times five more kids than all of us. What do you think?
Well, again, I think, you know, just because I say I'm at a certain point where I've met certain goals, it doesn't mean that I'm kind of resting on my laurels because I'm always trying to either be part of different companies like UpDoc Media and NextGen PT, or, you know, now that I kind of like transitioned my fulfillment to an actual warehouse, like Mike Reinhold told me to do, that saved me like 6-7 hours a week. So I'm promoting, and now I'm trying to grow modern manual therapy. But in the end, it, for me, it is all about spending time with my family. And I set certain rules, like I always want to have breakfast with my kids. I always want to have dinner with my kids, if possible. And I actually do that probably 7 days a week. When I teach a lot, and I get invited to teach all over the place, and I also try only to teach once a month. And, you know, on Sundays, my wife basically said, can you not look at your phone at all? And I think that it was hard at me at first, but then it was pretty great. You know, I do like some of what Jeff says. You know, I can like chill out and recharge in my own home. And I think that is very important. I don't feel the need to get away. My wife does occasionally, and you know, but we don't take like huge vacations because we still do have bills to pay and everything. And I don't know. I mean, again, I think some people, I get it. They like actually need to be away. And I love teaching and everything, but man, I certainly could not do that more than once a month. I mean, I just miss my family too much. And my wife actually just needs the break too. yeah, I got worried once when, I won't even say who, but like I mentored someone who considered teaching for a major group out there. And he's like, you know, don't teach too much because literally half of the faculty realized they made a ton of money. They ended up teaching more than they were in practice. And then like 50% of them are divorced. And maybe it's just because 50% of the people out there are just divorced anyway. But I just, that really resonated with me, especially because my wife is like a quality time person. And for her, it's like quality and quantity are the same thing. So quantity is just as important to her, and it's which makes it important to me then too. So, you know, I still see patients, but, you know, even that is only 2-3 days a week. So, again, I just try to work my life around my family. But I get it when people, they either need to work more. And, you know, if that is their balance, that's fine. But it just like that would not work for me where I am.
Yeah, and I think it's figuring out what the balance means, right? You can't have a balance unless you really define, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's in the middle like we typically think of balance, that it's exactly half and half. It's a seesaw. It's fluctuating. It's constantly different, and I think there needs to be a good awareness and understanding on both sides when talking about family. Like it was hard, it was difficult for my wife initially, and it's still no cakewalk to live through, kind of always on working. But if my son, and he likes baseball and we play all the time in the backyard, but the type of business that we have, and if my phone's going off or if I send a message, like he knows that I will reply or I'll send and I'm back and focusing. It just becomes part of life. And it's, I think the hardest thing is taking our brains, taking our thoughts and not saying this is good or this is bad, not labeling these moments or these times of and feeling guilt, associating guilt to these moments. If you can do that, if you could still have moments with your family, and if you could still be honest, and if you listen and you adjust day by day, situation by situation, versus saying, oh, I spent 2 hours or 3 hours or 1 hour and saying this is good or bad. Like as long as everybody's happy and talking and communicating and working together, then it should work out. Then there's that balance. It's kind of like, you know, it's Star Wars, right? There's a balance in the Force. With good moments and bad moments, like it happens, and it's just like in the business world, like you have to ride it, and you have to know that there's going to be change, and you have to adjust to change. I think that's the way I walk myself through it, and I try to have these moments, like Jeff, like you're talking about with my son, that he understands why I'm doing all this stuff, that it's important, that I enjoy it as well, that it's not just for money. Like I try so hard with him not to think in terms of oh, we're not doing this because it's expensive, or, you know, we have more money than these people. Like, I don't want him to think of doing something or not doing something because of money. Like, we talk on principle and enjoyment and doing what you want to do. And this is how you have to do it, which is hard. But that's I think, one of the joys of being a parent. And, like, some of my favorite moments is when he helps me with stuff that I'm doing at work. You know, like with Ark, like when we would go to the post office together and he'd help me ship packages. And, you know, that becomes our moments that everything comes together, which is really cool. And it's and that's with kids. It's obviously a little bit different with spouses. But I think it's definitely possible, but it has to be a relationship with your family and yourself. Like, you have to be honest with yourself, what that means to you.
Well, you touched on it, Gene. Communication. You have to be able to communicate, and you have to have somebody that's gonna rein you back in and tell you when you're out of balance. And you have to have somebody that's gonna support you towards your goals and objectives. And I think that the way you continue to make that work is by, like you're saying, continue to communicate with each other and let each other know so that they can make those adaptations that you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's any way around that. You have to have that system. Jeff, what do you do to recharge? Like, you have to have moments where you're just running on empty and burnt out a little bit. Is family time, is that getaway? Is that a little bit of a fuel, even though you don't have to go to Cancun necessarily? What do you do when you're starting, when that tank's starting to hit a little bit low?
Yeah, I mean, it's two things. I mean, Gene, there's nothing I love more than getting away with my family. You know, and sometimes I think my viewpoint or my emotion can come off so extreme that's not appreciated. You know, like, you know, the day before yesterday, we were up in Estes Park, Colorado, just all day, right? No cell phone signal, fishing, just hour after hour, just baking in the sun. Me, my wife, our kids, my brother-in-law, sister-in-law, just had an incredible day. Dude, those days...
Did you catch anything?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Jason caught a really nice trout and picked up a few other small ones. So it was a great day. Dude, there's nothing better than that stuff, right? And we know that. And no, you shouldn't feel bad about wanting that. And that's what life is deeply about, is forming those relationships. You know, I don't think that needs to be, like you said, a 10-day, cruise through the Caribbean. You know, it can just be a day, like even Urson was saying, refreshing at his house, man, just enjoying his time with his family. So, yeah, of course, I kind of have the luxury where I didn't before, when I was working at the nursing home from 4:30 in the morning till 6:30, and then, you know, at the clinic from 7 until 5, and then getting home and doing all the, you know, I didn't have the luxury back then, but I sure am glad I did it back then, so that now when my son says, you know, hey, I want to go to Winter Park, or I want to go do this, well, dude, I can schedule that. My life is now in a position where I can do that. But that's, I think, part of the reason I counsel folks to be so aggressive on the front end. But to finish the answer to your question, Gene, I'm doing it right now, man. Like, I'm not tired. Are you guys tired? I had a blast. You know, we're 45 minutes into this thing. I've laughed a lot. I've engaged with you guys. I thought your ideas were great. I mean, Gene, after a mastermind session, dude, I'm jacked up. Like, I don't get this tired thing, you know, like, oh, I work so hard, I'm really struggling. Like, I don't think like that. I think I'm going to get off this podcast and say, those guys are hilarious, I'm going to go for a quick jog and get back to work.
Well, that's because you're also on PST, and we're on EST, so I don't know if we're going to jog now.
Wait, did you just say he's on LSD?
PST, no, he's in Pacific.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, maybe he is on LSD, but he's
I have
also
been accused of that.
He's also in California, so although I did do most of my Netflix marathon training sessions between 9:30 and 11:30 at night, so...
Pretty sure Jeff just has to lick his beard, and it probably has the same effect as an LSD hit. And he's good to go. Joe, what do you think? Like, when you have you ever ran into kind of feeling drained, whether physically or mentally? Like, I'm curious, aside from Jeff's recharging, which is kind of getting away or doing some more fun stuff, like, what do you guys do when you're just in full hustle and grind mode, and then you just have those moments where in not full, what's called trough of sorrow. If you're an entrepreneur or in a startup world, you'll know what that means. But you just feel like, you, man, I need to do something to bounce back.
Yeah, you know, I think when I get that way, it doesn't happen very often, because I do believe, like Jeff said, that if you're doing what you love, you're not really working, right? You're not working a hard day. That passion can fuel you a long way. I also know you want me to answer the question. So I think that I do try to step away and kind of spend some time off the grid. I know Jeff has talked about that, but just kind of thinking and reassessing my goals and where we are. You know, spend some time with Casey. I'm obviously, you know, over the next week or two here, gonna have a lot of things on my mind with a new baby boy coming in. So you know, I will spend time thinking about that, but it's not like I need the 10-day cruise. In fact, if I take vacation for too long, I really I find ways to get back to work.
Such a good point. No, I'm completely with you, and I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on this too. To come at it from a different angle, if I spend too much time not working, my family's time struggles because I can't put my head into it. I have to have X amount of time doing stuff for work. I even have a hard time calling it work. Like it's just another part of life. Like the stuff for business and entrepreneur stuff. I think it's energy we have to work off. It's whether it's exercise or running stuff for the business. Like I have to do things, and I need to have time to do that because I can then have better time with family and focus on that stuff. If I take too much time off, or like I just spent 2 weeks at home with my baby daughter because my wife had to go to work and we didn't have preschool, that was an incredible challenge for me. And it was awesome because I loved bonding with her and having that time, but it was so exhausting because I had to be a dad and in the moment with her. But every time she took a nap, it was just like nonstop work. And hoping that the nap went a little bit longer. And now that my wife is back home because she's a teacher for the summer, it's a huge relief for me to be able to work a lot more. So that's at least how I am. Urs and Jeff, what do you guys think?
Well, you got to do baby wearing, Gene. That's what I think you got to do. Makes it a lot easier. Yeah, geez, on a Disney cruise last year, I was so psyched. And, you know, the only reason why I went 7 days is because it was with my...
Oh, look at us making fun of cruises, and Urson went on a cruise.
Yeah, but you know what?
We just cruise shamed him.
No, man, we love cruising. But we went 7 days because it was with my whole family. I very rarely get to see all three of my brothers, and all the cousins get to hang out and everything. My parents were there too, so it was amazing. And but you know what? I still needed to... I didn't bring my laptop, but I did bring a Bluetooth keyboard to answer emails whenever I went to bed. I paid for an internet data plan because I don't have customer service, you know? And I can't let emails go away. And that's like one of those things. Like, I've never gotten to inbox zero. You know, people always talk about that in the entrepreneurial world. How do you get to inbox zero? I've never gotten to inbox zero. I'm always snoozing things and scheduling for later, depending on which app you use. And yeah, you're right. If I took too much time off, it would actually stress me out. I mean, when my wife actually needs help homeschooling, or she's behind with stuff in the kitchen, like I'm very happy to help out because I do a lot of my work from home. But the more I do, the more I get stressed out. Like I need to write a blog post. I need to edit this video. I need to record another podcast. So I have these rituals, right? We all have rituals. And if these rituals that are work and fun, you know, when I say ritual, it makes it sound like it's a negative thing. I just mean it has to get done for me to feel like I accomplished something that day. you know, those are those things that's all part of the balance. And, you know, I think one of the biggest points of tonight's conversation is that it nothing is 50-50. It's just whatever you absolutely do need to do what you need to do.
Absolutely. What about you, Jeff?
Yeah, man. So just to be honest with you, Gene, I never took a vacation until this year. So it would have been, you know, eight years of practice. And we'd fly home to Michigan for Christmas and then fly right back when I was living in Montana. But we never actually took any consecutive days off until just this year. And actually, I drove to Florida. It's funny, you guys were chatting about that before the podcast. But I drove from Michigan to Florida with my family, and I did that St. Augustine address. So I actually mixed in some work even with that one. But that was my first shot at taking multiple days off in 8 years. And, you know, so honestly, I don't have a lot of experience with it.
Well, then you don't have to worry about it.
What was the first cruise we went on, actually? I hadn't been on vacation with my family in, like, 8 years, so. I don't go on a cruise every year. I just like to go on cruises.
Urson's annual cruise. That's what we should call this episode.
We do plan on going on another one next year, cruise. But...
Remember that show?
That's why I have a kid every other year.
Boat. awesome. No, this is great. I think it's been a great chat. I think it's good. It's good to have this conversation, and I'm sure people that are listening, especially if students are listening, that it might come off as brash or shocking, but this is real life. I mean, this is truth, and I think this is why so many. Divorces happen and so many issues happen with families when there isn't that understanding of spouses between when you say, I'm going to start a business or I'm going to go down this entrepreneurial road, what that really means. And it's tough. It's hard. And that if you don't have that communication and if you're not having those hard conversations and adjustments, I think that's what leads to so many issues amongst other things, I guess. All right, so let's finish it out. Jeff, man, thanks for taking the time. I know you're hustling away on the West Coast and moving around all over the place. I saw your Periscope where you pulled over in the middle of nowhere. I'm impressed you're still alive.
Where was he?
That's the strangest goodbye I've ever heard, but I'm thankful I'm alive as well, Gene.
You're live from the middle of a volcano.
You know, Gene...
It was the middle of nowhere. He pulled over in a field somewhere on a gravel road, laying on his trunk, doing a Periscope.
Yeah, I mean, that's been one of the weirder ones thus far. But before we let this, I feel this is drifting towards a lighter, more jovial ending, and I more appreciated the sort of brash, moderately offensive tone we had throughout the rest of the conversation. So, I just want to put out there, because I so appreciate being invited, that... All I'm saying on this topic is that when someone asks us who have been around in the profession for a while and maybe have been able to move up or sideways or have gotten to a position that we're happy that we're in, when people are asking us for advice on work-life balance, our first honest question does need to be, do you have a choice? Right. And I mean, I'm serious about that. And I've got people I don't want to pull them up by name right now that I could tell you that I've asked that to. And we've actually went over their finance. I'm not a finance guy, but I can sure as heck look at where they're at and say, hey, dude, right now, I wish you were in a better spot, but you don't have a choice, man. So grab that third job and turn a deaf ear to what everybody else is saying and get to work. Otherwise, it's going to get really ugly. And that's a challenging conversation. I would love to be able to say, oh, man, take it easy. Take that time with your spouse. You know, take that extra couple days after the wedding. Dude, those are things that feel really good to say, but sometimes they're not the right thing to say. And so let's make sure that we're not taking the easy route and that we're actually giving the right life advice for the right person. Let's subgroup our advice. That's all I'm saying.
I treat this question the same way I treat when somebody asks me, should I start a business? It's one, it's not for me to decide and not for me to tell you whether you should or shouldn't start a business. The best I can do is provide resources and guidance and my experience with it to give you an ability to make your own decision. It's the same thing with work-life balance. I can't tell you what a good work-life balance is for you. The best I can do is give you my experience, what worked for me, and be as honest as possible with what hasn't worked for me. And then you have to make that decision yourself, because our situations are different. My wife is different than whoever you're with. If you're with somebody, whether you have kids or not, like we're all in unique positions with a similar overtone over it. So I don't want to tell anybody what their work-life balance should be. All I can tell you is that it's hard and it's difficult and you have to adjust. That's the common thing between all this stuff.
Yeah, I would say I never really thought about it, a lot of the points that Jeff was saying. I mean, I don't, when I preach work-life balance, since I'm in my 40s, I never really thought I was telling anyone you should be lazy and do this half-assed. I just, to me, family is so important, and I'm also a religious guy, so you know, I just think that when I was in my 20s and I was single, I never went on vacation, and I like cashed in all my vacation so I can buy like my immediate family better Christmas presents and stuff. So, you know, it had been a long time. I haven't even taken a lot of vacations, even though I have actually been on like 4 cruises. Most of them have been before I had a family.
How many cruises?
Like 4 or 5.
It's 5?
No, it's only 1 since I've had a family, okay? My family had never been on a cruise before. I did like 2 in college and like 2 right out of college.
Yeah. So out of your 8 cruises, which one did you like the most?
The Disney cruise, man. Disney cruise is the best. But anyway, all I could say is, you know, you have a work-life balance if overall you don't feel like you have to recharge all the time. And absolutely, I know where Jeff is coming from. Like, I love doing these podcasts. I think my work is fun. I love creating content. I love making videos. I love blogging. I love writing. I love mentoring. When someone asks me to Skype, I just think like, yeah, man, I'd love to mentor you. I just got to find a time. When I'm teaching a course, like I've taught a course before. I flew in, like I was delayed. I ended up like getting in my hotel at 2 in the morning. I had a fever. I wake up, I think like I have my coffee. I teach, my fever goes away. I feel wired. I crash. Then I like teach the next day and I fly home. And then my wife's like, you always come home with man flu. But that entire time that I'm gone, yeah, man, when I'm on. And I love that stuff too. So I absolutely get it when someone can just like feel passionate about the work and, but, you know, all I can say is if you don't feel that at your work or at home, or wherever, you know, we always say like work life doesn't necessarily have to be at home or wherever you need to recharge. If you're not getting that recharge, you probably don't have that balance.
Right. Well, you have to establish a solid work and then you have to establish a solid life before you can have a balance in terms of balancing the ratio of one to the other. Right. Like you can't have a shitty home life and then blame being more at work for the destruction of your marriage or something like that. You know, like you have to be honest and be aware of yourself that you're happy with your personal life and you're happy with your work life and vice versa. Like that needs to be always audited personally. Like you have to know what's going on with your life and work and be honest with yourself with it, because it'll explode one way or another. How's that for a less cheery tone, Jeff?
Dude, I think we're totally somber enough to sign off at this point.
Yeah, man. We're in another episode where we're rated E.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Way to go.
Now that everyone's sufficiently depressed, we can call it a wrap.
Yeah, way to go, you LSD bearded son of a bitch.
Right.
I need a cruise.
On a lighter note, Joe, good luck this week, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
We will make sure to announce once baby Palmer is born.
That's right.
And we get all the information. We will pass it on via all our social media channels because we are always on, and we're going to bring life into the work.
That's right. I'm hoping to be out next week, but who knows? We'll see what happens.
And by out, he means we've been talking about him podcasting in the delivery room.
That's
no,
right.
No balance.
That's right. No balance. The line is so blurred now. Jeff's got me so blurred.
That's right. Everything was so clear before.
Way to go, Jeff.
That's great.
All right, man. Yeah. In case our listeners don't know where they can find you, if they want to keep track of your stuff and your shenanigans, where can they find you?
Yeah, man. So I'm out there on Twitter. It's at Jeff Moore DPT. My con ed company is called the Institute of Clinical Excellence. You can look it up, ptonice.com. You can check us out on Facebook as well. We're on Instagram. Of course, Gene and I have the virtual mentorship, so we've got Mentorship Mastermind, so we're always hanging out with new grads and students. I'm doing that. I'm working with EIM quite a ton, so I'm teaching a lot of their stuff. So if you go to EIM's website, you'll see me as faculty for quite a few of their weekend courses, doing some mentorship through them and fellowship stuff. And so, yeah, man, I'm kind of out there, but you can always hit me up. My email is jeffmooredpt@gmail.com, and my cell is 303-359-3597. So don't be afraid. If you want to call and tell me how depressed I just made you about having to work four jobs, I'm available.
There you go. Send your angry text to Jeff.
And Jeff is also your email and your text and your cell phone number.
Everything.
Man, you should edit that out. Gene never edits, but seriously.
I am not editing that out. I'm highlighting that piece.
I can't. Right, it's the first thing we're gonna loop that over and over again.
Exactly, he's pulling a John Childs, throwing out the cell phone out there. So a couple things. Jeff is actually coming to the Garage Series in October to do the C-spine manip course, right, Jeff?
Yep. So that'll be the first weekend in October. I think we're gonna hang out with Mike Eisenhart in Jersey there a day or two before that, and then we'll do the manip course over at your shop that weekend.
Yep, that's in Maryland, so that's on updocmedia.com. And speaking of John Childs, you and John have been doing a podcast that's actually produced by us at UpDoc Media that's going to be launching pretty soon. So keep your eyes on that. That's going to be an awesome podcast. Having listened to it to a bunch of those episodes, it's awesome.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, man, can't wait. John and I are having a blast. Yeah, so we've done quite a few, and the list of speakers we have coming is just mind-blowing. So, yeah, man, can't wait to get that out there.
So there you go. Check Jeff out. Find him on Twitter, definitely Periscope. He's been doing some pretty cool Periscope videos, very, very motivating and infuriating, depending on which side of the balance scale you're on. So check him out, and as always, thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.